stand in body or in spirit. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen?
Righteous live by their faith.
Or cry out to you violence and you will not say?
Righteous live by their faith.
Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble?
The righteous live by their faith.
Rekindle within us, O Lord, the gift of faith. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another, keeping silence for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Benevolent, merciful God, when we are empty, fill us. When we are weak in faith, strengthen us. When we are cold in love, warm us. That with fervor we may love our neighbors and serve them for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Habakkuk, the first and second chapter. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 37 responsively with me. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers.
For they will soon fade like grass, and wither like
a tree. Trust in the Lord and do good. So you will live in the land and enjoy security.
Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act.
He will make your indignation shine upon thy light, and the justice of your cause upon thy name.
Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. The second reading is from 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of the life that is in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Jesus Christ before the ages began, but it has now been revealed throughout the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Nope. Let's start over. I'm just going to start from the top. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come from plowing and tending the sheep of the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you rather not say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done." This is the gospel. Our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
This is my pre-sermon notes. You can sit down, Mike. They all did.
Sorry.
Our closing hymn today is Faith of Our Fathers. And I get why it's picked for today. Like, I think I was part of picking it, but it's a suggested hymn for today. But what about faith of our mothers and grandmothers? Think about this. 2 Timothy, right? I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am now sure lives in you. Brian, what do you think? Can we sing that one, Faith of Our Mothers, today? Sing how you want. Brian's like, no. I'm just saying, 1 Timothy, it says it right there, faith of our mothers and grandmothers. Anyway, secondly, I invite you to, as I situate myself over there for the sermon, there is a verse of the psalm today. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Have faith in him, and he will act. Consider that. I'll take my time. Trust in the Lord. The Lord will act. You have more time because my sermon disappeared. And don't worry, I'll find it. So, can you turn the recording off for a minute? Because I got to say something about a guy in my neighborhood. And I'm going to be really honest about this guy. I hate him, okay? I hate this guy. Lydia's like, which guy is this? Maybe he lives in my house. I don't know. Oh, nope, not one of my kids. Jeez. I hate this guy because it's his lawn, okay? I hate this guy because of his lawn. It's the first lawn to green up in the spring. It never has any weeds in it. It is a thick, full, luscious lawn, kind of like my... Never mind. But his lawn is. It's a thick, full, luscious lawn. Last weekend, I said to Andrea, I was like, hey, I think I need to mow the yard today. And she says, this is real. You mean mow the weeds? And yeah, that's kind of what my yard looks like. Just a lot of weeds. Now, if only I had a bit more faith, perhaps I could take the weeds and the crabgrass, there's plenty in my yard, lift it up and plant it in his yard. And while I'm there, I can lift up his thick, luscious, full grass and plant it in my yard. But good news for him, my faith, like my hair, is lacking, right? My faith is not strong enough to give me that thick, luscious, full head of hair or lawn, okay? And obviously, I'm being intentionally outrageous here, okay? The disciples, they are clearly fearing that their faith is lacking. And they cry out, increase our faith! Anybody been there? I think we've been there. We've, most of us anyway, had crises of faith in our lives. We have longed for more faith in our lives, stronger faith in our lives. Jesus' response, however, redirects the disciples. It redirects us, and I think it assures us. Jesus is saying, a tiny bit of faith is enough. And I think he's then saying, with that follow-on parable, you already have enough faith to do the work that was set before you, right? He's saying, now, I don't love the parable of the slaves and all the things, however, you know, but what Jesus is saying in that parable is that you are the disciples sent out to do the work, and your faith already is enough. And this should be good news for us. It is good news for us. Our faith is enough. My faith, your faith, our faith, it is enough. The problem is we're not content with the answer. We're not content with enough. We're Americans. We always want more. We, like the disciples, say, increase our faith. But why? Why do we want more faith? It's good answer. The good answer of there. Oh, no. Yeah, right. What is faith for anyway? Let's start there. Faith is meant to do something, right? Faith is meant to do something for us, right? Otherwise, why would we want faith anyway if faith wasn't for us, if faith wasn't meant to do something for us? We want our faith to do something for us. Increase our faith so that we can not just move dandelions, not just move mulberry trees. Increase my faith, God. I want enough faith so that I can move God. Right? We want to move God with our faith. And this is what faith is for, right? To move God for me, to move God to serve me. Increase my faith so that through my faith I might move God. And I know some of you out there might be like, I would never, right? Not me, not us. I wouldn't try to get God to move for me. Surely none of us would think that we could bend God's will or force God's will or force God's hand. But let me ask, who here has cried out for God to move and begged God to move? Me? I've done that. And who here has experienced God not moving to your will? Me? Whose faith then, if it's something you really, really, really needed, has been shattered, crushed, pulverized when God did not move to your will? I'm not climbing up there, but still me. When God did not seem to care, you ever feel like that? Yes, me. Whether in your own personal life or on a global scale, sometimes we might think that God doesn't seem to care. And these are the cries we hear from the prophet Habakkuk today. We know these cries. They could be our cries. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? And cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence, they are set before me. Strife and contention arise. Justice, it never prevails. Justice comes forth perverted. Spin the clock ahead about 2,600 years, our words could echo the prophets. Oh Lord, how long must we cry violence? How long must we look upon the lifeless bodies of our children senselessly murdered in their classrooms? Do you not hear the cries of those who gather to worship you, who are instead gunned down, stabbed, and their buildings set on fire? Strife and contention reign, bloodshed, murder, political violence, assassinations, they are thrust upon our screens and in front of our faces. Do you not see the wars, the violence, the famines, the pain and the suffering? The weak and the powerless in our society, they are crushed right before our eyes. We see it every day. Where is the justice? I don't think there is justice. Habakkuk does not relent. He demands that the Lord answers him. He demands that the Lord respond. And his demands, they very well could be our demands. He says, I will stand at my watchpost. I will stand up here on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what you, God, will say to me, what you will answer concerning my complaint. And my complaints are many, and you you must answer. What are you going to do about this, God? Can't you see this world's a mess? You're okay with it? What are you going to do? These are the faithful cries of a faithful prophet. Do you think God answers Habakkuk? God answered Habakkuk. I can't say Habakkuk loved the answer. I honestly can't say I love the answer. But it's an answer. And it's an answer that gives us hope. There is still a vision, says God, for the appointed time. It speaks to the end and it does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right within them, but the righteous live by their faith. The righteous live by their faith. God says, Habakkuk, I will act at the appointed time. Trust that I will act. Have faith that I will act. I do not believe that faith in and of itself can move God. I think faith cries out to God. And faith then trusts that God hears our complaints, hears our cries. Faith trusts that God remembers God's promises to God's faithful people, and faith trusts that God has and will continue to act. Faith sustains us as we stand on the rampart, watching and waiting and waiting and waiting, saying, when will you act, God? When? Faith doesn't move God to act according to our will. Faith trusts that God will act to sustain us in our waiting, to restore us, to reconcile us, to make all things new. The prophet Habakkuk, to be clear, he does not bend God to act according to the where and the when and the how and the what of his desire and his will. But his faith does not break. He trusts that God will act. And in faith, Habakkuk continues to name the suffering of his people. But it's not a suffering without hope. He says, though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit are on the vines, the produce of the olive, it fails. And the yields, the fields yield no food. The flock, it is cut off from the fold. There's no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. In these final and closing words of the book of Habakkuk, he demonstrates for us a defiant faith. Habakkuk stands defiant against that in the world which should not be. This is a faith that clings to the hope and the promise of a restored creation. A restored creation that is not yet fully seen. A new creation where justice and mercy will reign. Habakkuk's is a defiant faith. And it is a defiant faith that sustains us as we know and we see and we experience pain and suffering and violence and injustice in this world. It is a faith that rejoices in knowing that God has defeated sin and death. That God right now today is making all things new. Right now. I think that's the weird part in that prophecy that says it will not delay. God is already right now making things new. Now, my dear siblings in Christ, right now, it is a time for a defiant faith. We are called to a defiant faith. And I know Habakkuk said he would stand up there on that rampart. He would stand at that watchpost. But I think now is the time for us to climb down from the rampart, from the watchpost in faith. A defiant faith calls us to action. But we are not called to act according to our will. Not to move God to act according to our will. We act as participants in the work that God is already doing, working with God to bring God's preferred future, God's preferred future, God's preferred future of a renewed and restored creation to the here and now. And the really good news, my dear siblings in Christ, is that it doesn't take much faith. Just a little faith. Just a little. Just a little faith is more than enough. Not to move weeds or grass or trees. No, not to steal my neighbor's lawn. And certainly the faith is not meant to move God. No, I think that little bit of faith is meant to move us. It's meant to move us for our neighbor, for our, this world, and for all of creation. Amen. Just for one Sunday, is called witness time. I almost went a very different way with this sermon today, and I think it's still something very important for us to hear. When we feel like we have just a little faith or maybe no faith at all, and I have been there. I spent an entire year there in my life about 10 years ago. And in that time, what I did was I went to church every single Sunday. And I sat there in the pew, and none of it seemed to matter. I got nothing out of it. I just sat there, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday And eventually, something clicked and something changed. What we're about to do is the Apostles' Creed, where we together profess what we believe, we together profess our faith. And I think that sometimes when we have no faith, it's not that we have no faith. It's that the faith of those who are gathered around us lift our faith and boost our faith. And sometimes we are called to believe for one another. So with that,
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So I have a few updates for our prayers today. So before I give this update, I will just say she is doing well. She is home. She is recovering. Geneva Buchanan had a heart attack on Thursday. But she is doing well, recovering at home. She had a procedure, but she is doing well. And then on a little tougher one is Gene Hayes is declining pretty significantly, I believe. You would agree, right, Mike? Yeah. So please keep Gene in your prayers. Keep Gene's family in your prayers as well. And then, Marty, any update there? Okay, so Marty's aunt, Norma, right? So also had a heart attack, needs our prayers. What other prayers to add this morning? Chloe.
Dave, my brother Ed, it's not going good.
Okay, we will lift Ed, Mike's brother Ed, in prayer. Ruth Ann.
My mom and Becky.
Becky. Lots of prayers today. Renewed in God's everlasting grace, let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all of creation.
O God of the church, you give the church a treasure in Jesus Christ. When we despair, when we cry for help, and when we are overwhelmed by the violence of this world, remind us that we live by faith, and that faith in Jesus Christ is a gift from you. God of grace,
receive our prayer. O God of those in need, you care for those who are sick, oppressed, bereaved, lonely, and poor. Come to the help of all who are in need. Especially this day, we lift Jack Jr. We lift Norma, Geneva, Jean, Ruth Ann, Becky, Chloe, and Ed. We lift those who are on our long-term and homebound, assisted living, and limited mobility prayer lists. And we lift prayers for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Help us to trust that you will come to us at the right time. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
O God of creation, you nourish the earth with grace and mercy. Bring favorable weather during the harvest season, especially to the fields, gardens, and orchards of Crawford County and across Ohio, and sustain and protect all the farmers and laborers you have sent into the harvest so that all might receive their daily bread. God of grace,
receive our prayer. Today we lift to you our outgoing bishop of the ELCA, Elizabeth Eaton, for her years of faithful service and ministry as a pastor, a bishop, and as a presiding bishop. And we ask you that you guide the new presiding bishop of the ELCA, Yahiel Curry, who was installed yesterday. Please be with him in these troubling and difficult times as he guides us and the church for your work in this world. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We offer our prayers, O God, trusting in your everlasting grace and mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. We continue worship with our gifts and our offerings. Oh, as soon as Adam's ready, sorry.
Harvest, we return to you a portion of what you have given to us. Turn us to set our hope not on the uncertainty of riches, but on you, who richly provides for us. Multiply what we have gathered to bless all who are suffering and in need through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
God of power and glory.
Jesus Christ, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray together as our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus welcomes us sinners and eats with them. He is also the host and presence of this meal. So come to this meal of mercy, all of you.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, through this meal you have strengthened us and appointed us to be your servants. Send us to do good and to share our possessions with all in need. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So, at St. Paul, they have baskets, similar to our little blue container things here, for the empty communion cups. And this morning, so when they have kids there, there's kids that hold the baskets. And this morning, the kids were still standing there when I took communion, and I drank out of the chalice. That's what we do there. And I took the chalice, and I went to put it in the basket. And one of the kids was like, "It's too big for that." And then the grandma that was standing there was like, "Shit." I'm like, "Come on. It was my fault." But they don't tell me not to do this stuff. They yell at the kid. And then I said that one of my joys of being a pastor was, you know, doing stuff like that and getting the kids yelled at. And then the grandma said, "They can go home with you." I said, "I have my own problems." This all happened. You're not a problem. That's a cap. Okay. Announcements this morning. Our noisy offering is going to adopt a family, which is coming up. So keep an eye on that for when that kind of stuff comes out. And we have a family for you to adopt for Christmas. This week is committee fellowship on Thursday, followed by committees at 6 and council at 7. We continue to collect food for the food pantry for CCSG, so take a look at that. What other announcements are there this morning that I am not thinking of? So again, please continue praying for those folks that we named today. And if there are no other announcements, please stand for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Mighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. the Lord in faith.
We receive the promise through faith.
Go then and give glory to the God of our salvation.